The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome to a Tuesday. It is a brand new week here at the Nicole Sandler Show. Yes, our week begins on Tuesdays around here. Once again, I was looking for a great comedy bit to get us started because I don't know about you, but maybe it's all the death talk. I'm sorry we lost John McCain. Sorry about the noise there. And I still have some noise on the line. Sorry about that. Let me see if I can't figure this out. There we go. Okay. Not going to touch anything else. So John McCain passed away on Saturday. Sad. I mean, we knew it was coming. He was very sick. It's a bit overwhelming, and we're in for another whole week of this. So I really wanted us to be prepared with a good comedy bit to start the show. And again, all the late night TV hosts are on vacation. An unlikely source comes to the rescue. Randy Rainbow bailed us out last week, and he's already back with a new one. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the stylings of Randy Rainbow.
We are back, and I'm joined now by a very special guest, the President of the United States. Are we still going with that title? Yes? They're telling me yes? Okay, still good. Welcome, Mr. President. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you must be very busy cleaning out your desk. It has been quite a dramatic news week for you.
They make up lies. I've seen it many times. They make up things.
I mean, two former employees convicted, one implicating you as a co-conspirator in his crimes, a public feud with your attorney general, friends and allies, even doormen flipping on you left and right.
I know all about flipping. For 30, 40 years, I've been watching Flippers.
Such a good show.
Look, I didn't know Manafort well. He wasn't with the campaign long.
Well, then why don't we start with your former attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen?
Okay.
I always found him to be a nice guy.
Were you aware of the hush money payments he is now saying were financed by the campaign per your instruction?
They didn't come out of the campaign. They came from me, and I tweeted about it. You know, I don't know if you know, but I tweeted.
He tweeted.
About the payments. But they didn't come out of campaign.
Did they come out of the campaign?
They didn't come out of the campaign, and that's big.
Huge.
Because that could be
illegal.
A little dicey.
Or illegal.
But they weren't.
Illegal.
It's not even a campaign violation. If you look at President Obama, he had a massive
pecker. David Pecker, your friend and CEO of the National Enquirer, has recently been granted immunity in the Cohen investigation and is said to have a lot of dirt on you.
I don't know. I've always had controversy in my life, and I've always succeeded. I've always won.
Well, some say you're about to win, most likely to get impeached.
I'll tell you what. If I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash.
If you ever got impeached?
I think everybody would be very poor.
Why, if you ever got impeached, you would...
You would probably start crying, then rehash all the lying and rhetoric you've preached. All the Dems would be smirking. Jim Acosta would start twerking if you ever got impeached.
If I ever got impeached.
You could just give in to Mueller, then go and get some color by lying on a beach. This is all natural, right? With the crimes you've been fixing, you could be another Nixon if you only got impeached.
I think the market would crash.
You'd be through and take with you our worries and our strife. You'd return to only burdening your wife, and we'd resume a normal life. find a lawyer, cause you'll need one. Write a book or learn to read one. Or get your eyebrows bleached. Just relax at the spa, go fuck yourself at Mar-a-Lago if you get impeached.
I don't know how you can impeach somebody who's done a great job.
You'd be more than implicated for laws you violated and protocols you breached.
Because without this thinking,
we could finally all stop drinking if you ever got impeached.
I think everybody would be very poor.
We would dance and sing and revel. No one else has hit the level of infamy you've reached. Giuliani could retire. Pence could join a gay men's choir if you ever get impeached.
The president did nothing wrong.
When you flee, take Huckabee. And finally I'll be calm. I'd ask Michael Avenatti to the prom. And Kellyanne could move to Guam. More than half the country's waiting, so think about the ratings. Cause when you gave your speech, we would all tune in to listen. You could finally go to prison.
I'm not involved. I wasn't charged with anything.
If you ever got impeached,
I think everybody would be very cool.
What would you do with the brain if you had one?
And in case you didn't hear that last bit, what would you do with a brain if you had one? Randy Rainbow, he is a unique kind of genius. Yes, he is. And so I thank him for brightening my mood. Yeah, if he only got impeached. So, you know, there was the news of John McCain over the weekend, and that pretty much dwarfed everything else. There was one other news story that I kind of love. Axios obtained a spreadsheet that has circulated through Republican circles on and off Capitol Hill I'm quoting from Axios now, that meticulously previews the investigations Democrats will likely launch if they flip the House. So today is election day here in Florida, primary day in Florida. I already voted like 2 weeks ago and in Arizona and Oklahoma, I believe. And this is the last big primary day. We are 69 or 70 days away from election day. And yes, flip the House, we must. So here is from that spreadsheet some of the probes that the Republicans are predicting the Democrats will embark upon once they get control of the House and therefore subpoena power. And the power of investigations. Yes, because that stuff happens in the House. So here are some of the probes it predicts. The president's tax returns. Trump family businesses and whether they comply with the Constitution's emoluments clause, including the Chinese trademark grant to the Trump Organization. Trump's dealings with Russia, including the president's preparation for his meeting with Vladimir Putin, the payment to Stephanie Clifford, a.k.a. Stormy Daniels, James Comey's firing, Trump's firing of U.S. attorneys, Trump's proposed transgender ban for the military, remember that one? Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin's business dealings, White House staff's personal email use, oh yeah, Cabinet Secretary travel, office expenses, and other misused perks. Discussion of classified information at Mar-a-Lago. How soon we forgot that one, huh? Jared Kushner's ethics law compliance. Mm-hmm. Dismissal of members of the EPA Board of Scientific Counselors. The travel ban. Family separation policy. Hurricane response in Puerto Rico. Election security and hacking attempts. And White House security clearances. And can I say, this doesn't even have Wilbur Ross's $120 million theft or whatever it was he did. I mean, there are others that are left off here. This sounds good. Let me just read to you the bottom line here from Axios. It says, thanks to their control of Congress, Republicans have blocked most of the Democrats' investigative requests. But if the House flips, I'll say when the House flips, the GOP loses its power to stymie. Lawyers close to the White House tell me the Trump administration is nowhere near prepared for the investigatory onslaught that awaits them, and they consider it among the greatest threats to his presidency. Aw, you know what? Even better than an aw, I thought I had a sad trombone here somewhere. I do. You know, what good is a sad trombone if you can't find it when you need it? Come on, I'm going to give it one more. I know I have a sad trombone. And I seem to have lost it. Let me look for one more thing. Ah, there it is. Here we go. Okay. Yeah, I feel so sorry for them. Right. Okay. It's Tuesday. That means Gotta Laugh is here. And I don't know about you. I'm ready for her. So let's just get into what's news. And then Laffy joins us for her tweet spot. And lots more to talk about. But what's in the news today?
I read the news today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Senator John McCain will be memorialized for 5 days this week with services planned in his home state of Arizona and also in the nation's capital where he served as a lawmaker for more than 30 years. And this just in, guys, let's show the live pictures of the White House. Guess what's just happened? The flag has now been lowered to half staff. So it had been lowered. It was raised. Now it's officially lowered again. We have reached out to the White House for clarification on why it has been lowered again, presumably out of respect for the late senator. As soon as we find out, we'll let you know.
CNN's Brooke Baldwin Monday afternoon as she noticed the White House flag had been lowered again to half staff. Donald Trump caved and issued a formal statement honoring the late Senator John McCain following 2 days of intense blowback over his petty reaction to the Republican's death. Quote, despite our differences on policy and politics, I respect Senator John McCain's service to our country, Trump begrudgingly wrote in a statement after AMVETS, one of the country's largest veterans groups, and the American Legion and others blasted his initial lackluster response. The flags will remain at half staff until after McCain's internment on Sunday. John McCain left a farewell letter, which was read publicly Monday by his longtime aide and spokesman, Rick Davis.
We weaken our greatness when we confuse our patriotism with tribal rivalries that have sown resentment and hatred and violence in all the corners of the globe. We weaken it when we hide behind walls rather than tear them down, when we doubt the power of our ideals rather than trust them to be the great force for change they have always been. 10 years ago, I had the privilege to concede defeat in the election for president. I want to end my farewell to you with heartfelt faith in Americans that I felt so powerfully that evening. I feel it powerfully still. Do not despair of our present difficulties. We believe always in the promise and greatness of America. Because nothing is inevitable here. Americans never quit. We never surrender. We never hide from history. We make history. Farewell, fellow Americans. God bless you, and God bless America.
As the Senate convened for the first time since John McCain's Saturday death, his former Senate colleagues took to the floor Monday to remember him. Here's Georgia Senator Johnny Isaacson with a not-so-veiled comment aimed at the president.
I don't know what's going to be said in the next few days about John McCain, by whomever it's going to be said. I don't know what's going to be done. But anybody who, in any way, tarnishes the reputation of John McCain deserves a whipping. Because most of the ones who would do the wrong thing about John McCain didn't have the guts to do the right thing when it was their turn. We need to remember that. So I would say to the president or anybody in the world, it's time to pause and say, this was a great man. He gave everything for us. We owe him nothing less than the respect that he earned.
Paul Manafort's defense team held talks with prosecutors about a possible plea deal ahead of their client's second trial next month.
Former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort was reportedly seeking a deal in his upcoming trial. The Wall Street Journal reporting that while jurors in Virginia were deliberating tax and bank fraud charges, Manafort's defense team was trying to work out an agreement with prosecutors in his second trial that is slated to begin here in Washington, D.C. next month. The Journal reports the talks stalled after the special counsel Robert Mueller raised issues with the potential deal.
A federal court in North Carolina ruled for the second time this year that the state's congressional map was drawn to so severely benefit Republicans that it violates the Constitution. The court notably left open the possibility of implementing a new congressional map in time for this year's midterm elections. In an awkward photo op with the president of Mexico on speakerphone, Trump on Monday announced a new U.S.-Mexico trade deal following months of negotiations to recast the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, which also encompasses Canada.
I like to call this deal the United States-Mexico Trade Agreement. I think it's an elegant name. I think NAFTA has a lot of bad connotations for the United States because it was a ripoff. It was a deal that was a horrible deal for our country. And I think it's got a lot of bad connotations to a lot of people. And so we will you and I will agree to the name. We will see whether or not we decide to put up Canada or just do a separate deal with Canada if they want to make the deal. The simplest deal is more or less already made.
MSNBC's Ali Velshi tries to explain what happened there.
We had simultaneous translation from the Spanish to English for the Mexican president. Unfortunately, we didn't have simultaneous translation for the English to English because the president made not a whole lot of sense there. I got Ron Insana to help me out with this. That was a little hard to interpret.
It was. It's a point of understanding, is the way President Nieto described it. And so that sounds like a framework agreement that's where details still have to be filled in.
It's not a replacement for NAFTA.
It is not. Congress would have to approve that. Also, Canada would have to join in that process as well and be signatory to it. NAFTA remains in effect. Now, the president can repeal and replace, but it would take congressional approval and all three countries to agree to a framework like that.
Tuesday is primary day in Florida and Arizona. Get out and vote. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
And now back to Nicole on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, yes, every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh, and we talk about what's in the news by going through Laffy's Twitter stream. Why else? But we got to get her on the line first. Hello?
Why, yes, you've reached the Trump half-staff hotline.
Okay.
Press 1 if you think even though Trump wouldn't allow the flag to stay at half staff for McCain, Trump's mentality has remained at half wit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Press 2 if you think Trump's new fake trade agreement is half-assed.
That too.
Press 3 if you think what has remained at half staff for decades has been Trump's pants. Have a nice day.
Well, you know what they say about little hands.
Yes, indeed. Well, I just saw a Chiron on MSNBC, and it said, Bill Shein says Trump's in a very tender emotional state.
I saw that. I didn't see it on a Chiron, but I saw that quote. Bill Shein.
Tender. Oh, my God.
Oh, poor Donald.
There's nothing tender about him.
Yes, he said, you know, he got frustrated with the coverage for McCain because he said that was befitting a president. Not just some lowly senator.
Oh my
God! POW.
I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Well, he didn't say that, but I ascribed it to him.
Yeah, yes. Got it. Yeah. Oh, but
he did
still.
Say the first part about that it was befitting a president. The second part was just implied.
Yeah. No, but I think I have a lot of tweets about this from yesterday. I may even have a couple from today. It was a big, huge topic, the flag, and all the things that went along with it.
Well, it was so weird. I mean, first of all, when I woke up yesterday morning and they showed a shot of, you know, the White House, and there was the flag at full staff, or however you say it, all the way up to the top. And I was wondering, well, isn't that supposed to stay down longer than that?
Well, he's just so damned infantile. I mean, everything has to be about him and applauding him and praising him. And if anybody dares to die, get some, like, you know, accolades, that's just a personal affront to him.
Yes.
It's insane.
And when they were in the cabinet room, when he did his ridiculous phone call, the speaker call with Mexico, and then the press spray is there and they're asking him, do you have anything to say about John McCain? And he sits there with his arms crossed.
Yes. Like a petulant little child.
I do have
that covered in a tweet.
Thank you.
Ugh. God, just unbelievable. Just crazy. Anyway, I have a bunch. So,
Let's
you want to get to it?
Sure. Let loose the birdies.
Welcome to my tweet.
All right. right. What are the Twitters saying today?
Oh, the Twitters. They're so funny. So I have a bunch from today, and then we'll go back to yesterday's that I think I covered what we were just talking about.
Okay.
There is a tweet from NBC Washington that says, the inmate told investigators, I'll have to read you their headline as soon as I read the tweet. The inmate told investigators he had been in a meeting with the wife of a prominent DC attorney for a month. She would bring him cigarettes and they would have sex in her car, court documents say. And the headline from that was, and when I link to it, wife of Trump lawyer found in car with inmate fined $2,500. And my pull quote was, and I said, so many punchlines, so little time, quote, the firm's website says, he is an ethics advisor to President Donald Trump's businesses.
So which lawyer is this? Is this Michael Cohen's wife?
I didn't recognize.
Or is it Rudy Giuliani's wife?
Teresa Birchfield's husband.
Oh. Oh.
Birchfield.
Oh, okay. So that's a female lawyer. He has a female attorney, huh?
No, it's her husband. It's Teresa. Teresa Birchfield pleaded no contest on Monday to charges of disorderly conduct.
Oh.
The wife of a prominent D.C. attorney will face a $2,500 fine after she was caught in the backseat of her Maserati with a county jail inmate. The lawyer is Birchfield. The wife is the one in trouble.
I see. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, so
I've never heard of this lawyer before, but
I'll
keep an ear out for him. It sounds like he's got a nice home life.
Bobby Birchfield. Here it is. Bobby Birchfield is a D.C.-based lawyer for King & Spalding. The firm's website says he's an ethics advisor to Donald Trump's business.
Oh, my God.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Now I know where it is. Hold on. Now I know where it is. Come on. There it is.
That's so much better than me. Okay, here's something that Amy Sullivan tweeted. She just said discuss. Her tweet is discuss. And she had a screen grab of a tweet. By the way, Amy Sullivan is a host of Impolite Pod, and she used to be with Yahoo News and Time and a bunch of others. She tweeted a screen grab. Uh-oh. Now that's weird. It's not showing up, but I'll try to read as much as I can. From Eric Metaxas. Tonight's White House dinner is a celebration of the contribution of evangelicals to America. Without evangelicals, there'd have been no American Revolution, no abolitionist movement, no civil rights, and I can't get the rest. Let me see if I can open image in a new tab for some reason. Oh, there it is. No civil rights movement, no Reagan Revolution. Honored to have been invited. God bless America.
Oh, my God. And that was last night that Trump was surrounded at the White House by all these evangelicals who, you know, if we were living in normal times, would be shunning him for the slime bucket that he is.
And now what they're saying is, you know, I've been trying to figure out how they can justify their hypocrisy.
Yeah.
What they're saying, somebody said it last night, and I was glad they finally elucidated. One line went flying out, and they said something like, they're saying that God gets his will done in odd ways sometimes, and so they needed Donald Trump to get these things done for them.
Oh, God.
That's how they justify it. God did it.
Unbelievable.
I want to throw up. This is why I'm an atheist.
Right. He's their dictionary definition of an antichrist, isn't he?
Pretty much, yeah.
So,
but now he's God's mouthpiece.
Right. Okay. Ugh.
I want to die. I just want to go somewhere and, like you said in before the show, go on a long vacation and sip on cold drinks by the ocean or whatever it was you said.
That's what I said, something like that. Fruity drinks.
So good right now.
Yeah. I just want to go where it's quiet, where there's no news, where there's no nothing, just the sun and the ocean. Maybe go do a little scuba diving. I really, really, really could use a vacation. I can't afford it.
I can totally relate to that. Here's one that people heard about, but I'm going to talk about it. Roll Call put out, political correctness is like a cancer, Kelly Ward, Arizona Senate candidate, days after McCain died of brain cancer.
Well, do you have the first part where she said,
no.
Well, what happened is on Friday, you might remember, McCain's family announced that he was foregoing any further cancer treatment.
Right.
So, you know, obviously the writing was on the wall. We knew he was on his deathbed. She said that they timed the timing of that announcement
right,
to basically step on her campaign message. So that was the first part of it, which was pretty disgusting. And now what did she say? Like he died on purpose to diss her?
Political. Yeah, he died on purpose. The timing was, it was all about her. Because, you know, that's how they do things in the McCain family. They kill off their loved ones just to interfere with elections. I can't even.
I can't even. I mean, it was bad enough that she said something in the first place. And then when the next day he died and she still kept it up.
Yeah, no, this is what they do. I don't understand how they are getting away with this other than knowing why they get away with this, because they are so consumed with the agenda. They are so consumed with the Supreme Court that they need to get their people in forever, and as is happening in all the other courts that their judge, you know, they're putting through Trump's nominees right and left.
Oh, yes, they are.
Appellate courts and stuff. So it's happening, folks. We're in big trouble here. Here's what happened today on Andrea Mitchell Reports. I was watching. I always watch it because despite the fact that she does things that bother me, she also does things that don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
She has enough solid news on her newscast that I get a lot out of it. So I'm willing to watch and get through some of the bad parts. Okay. Well, here's where I turned off the TV.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Andy Card was on, and he's been for some months now.
Is one of their contributors.
An MSNBC regular contributor.
Right.
He's a paid contributor.
Right.
And so he was on opining, as he is wont to do.
Yes.
And he said that he thanked Trump for finally acknowledging John McCain's death lowering the flag and putting out a statement. He thanked him. He didn't just say, well, it's about time and, you know, he shouldn't have done that. He thanked him as if it was something that deserved thanks. And then he inexplicably used Trump's learning curve as an excuse.
What?
He said, well, you know, Trump's still got that learning curve. He hasn't quite grown into the presidency. And he actually excused it using the learning curve thing as a justification. He's been in office for how long
now? Almost 2 years.
Almost two years.
Coming up on 2 years.
Yeah. He's over the learning curve. If Obama did that, they sure wouldn't use a learning curve excuse.
Nope.
So that's what was on Mitchell Reports today. So I clicked that off.
Mm-hmm.
Got very upset. Greg Sargent.
Yes.
He's good. He had a couple of tweets out on one and then the other. First one, let me see if I can get that up in a separate window here. Okay. The first one was Trump's rage Googling of himself should be taken very, very seriously. Trump is turning GOP voters against mechanisms of accountability that are working, media, Mueller, for purpose of maintaining the one that is not the GOP Congress. My new post. Okay. And then he adds to that. Also in this piece today, Ron DeSantis will likely win Florida GOP governor primary. Is that what I'm saying here? I'm sorry. That's what it says. Governor primary.
Yep.
Yes, that's right. DeSantis attacked his foe for criticizing Trump over the Access Hollywood tape! This is a pattern. Multiple Republicans who criticize Trump for boasting about sexual assault have been thrown on the defense.
Say that again.
This is a pattern. Multiple Republicans who have criticized Trump for boasting about the sexual assault, in other words, his critics, have been thrown on the defense.
Sorry, I got the hiccups. So I'm trying to get rid of them surreptitiously. My cure is 7 sips without taking a rest, but I had to speak because you weren't done.
I've always wondered what would happen if I get them on air, because I get them and they last for an hour. I can't get rid of them no matter what I do.
7 sips. You take a deep breath.
Yeah, I've done it all.
And you take 7 sips without stopping to breathe or anything. And I'm telling you, it kills the hiccups.
I'll try to do that. No. I've tried sugar. I've tried everything that everyone's ever told
seven.
Me. But anyway, the point he's making is that when Trump rage Googles and tweets and does everything else he does, it works.
What I just find hysterical and so typical is that Trump was Googling his name to see what
yes.
came up.
Yes.
Come on.
This is what he does because he doesn't have time to go talk to Mueller.
Right.
But he does have time to Google his name.
Right. Oh, God.
I want to throw up every minute of every day now.
So now they're talking about regulating Google searches because
yes.
because when you Google Trump, it comes up with negative stuff.
And
oh,
social media.
My God.
They didn't stop at Google.
Right.
Yeah. Here's from today. This is a tweet, the LA Times. FBI to talk to Representative Maxine Waters' opponent about tweeting of fake letter. Yeah, the FBI is interested. Let me see if I can bring this up. Here it is. The FBI and Capitol Police want to talk with Representative Maxine Waters' 2018 Republican opponent about a fake letter he posted to Twitter that falsely indicated the congresswoman wants to resettle tens of thousands of refugees in her L.A. district. Omar Navarro, the Republican candidate, said he will meet with the agents at his California campaign office at their request.
These people, they wouldn't know the truth if it bit them on the ass, and they lie, and then they point to us and they say fake news.
Yes. Yes. Meanwhile, breaking right now, white Texas police officer found guilty of murder for fatally shooting black teen in the car.
Wow.
Yes.
Good.
What do you know? Let's see. A former Texas officer killing a 15-year-old boy, Roy Oliver, who was white, was found guilty in the death of high school freshman Jordan Edwards,
wow.
who was black.
Wow. Well, it good. Was, Maybe yeah. it's the start of a new trend.
It's about time.
No kidding.
Jesus. Okay, so Joshua, I have a comment on top of this one, but Joshua Holland, our old pal, he tweeted, okay, so Lindsey Graham says the new attorney general must let Mueller finish his job. And Josh Holland posted over that headline, I'm fine with POTUS committing all kinds of crimes as long as they don't involve Russia. Quote, at the end of the day, if there is collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, that will be it for me, Graham said. Anything else will be just noise.
I don't trust Lindsey Graham for a second.
For a second.
I happen to see some of his tearful comments on the Senate floor just shortly before the show started as I was walking by the television. He's such a hypocrite.
He's full of crap.
He really is.
He gave a lovely speech, as people do when their friends die, and you kind of look at them and feel sympathy because, God, his friend died.
Yep.
I give him that.
Yep.
Of course. But he's full of it because he said that McCain gave him all this great advice, and he's not going to follow any of it. He has never followed it, and he's not going to. And my comment, by the way, about Lindsey Graham's comments about that Josh Holland talked about is that we think that impeachment will work. This is what we get. If we don't get the Senate and we don't get 67 in the Senate, which we won't, then impeaching will only go so far because he won't be convicted because of people like Lindsey Graham.
Right. He won't be removed from office.
Right. So I'm all for impeachment 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that if there's a strong enough case that enough Republicans will go along with the Democrats, but I don't have any faith in that.
No, nor do I. I mean, it a lot depends what happens on November 6th. If Republicans lose, something like 67 seats, we may see more of them start to turn on him.
Right. But I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't. I was listening to, oh my goodness, Caputo. He's a Florida columnist or something, right?
I know who you're talking about.
Mark.
Yeah, not Caputo. Mark, damn it. What's his name? I'll tell you when I'm not thinking about it.
Oh, my goodness.
But he does the Florida Daybook for Politico.
Yeah. Why can't I think of his name? I follow the guy.
Yeah.
We follow each
other. I know him,
and
I can't think of his
nice
name.
Enough. Anyway, but he was saying that the blue wave in Florida doesn't really exist, and that Trump's influence is affecting the election, and that the Republicans in Florida are now Trump Republicans. So that scared me to death.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they're saying that the early voting, the Democrats, the numbers are bigger than they've ever been.
Yes, he did say that too. Yeah.
But that more Republican absentee ballots have been returned than Democratic, which is unusual.
Yeah, I'm not happy right now. I know, and we've talked about this, that everybody's talking about the blue wave, and I get all these falsely optimistic tweets constantly. They're all going to jail. Blue wave. Well, you know what? They all said Trump was toast.
Yep.
And Hillary lost.
That's right.
A lot of things are happening. One is voter suppression, despite the fact that there are court decisions in favor of us against voter suppression, against gerrymandering and stuff like that. Despite that, there is still voter suppression. There is still voter ID problems. There are still they're trying to close down early voting and things like that. There is definitely hacking going on. We know that because mm-hmm. it's been reported by mm-hmm. our own FBI. And there are a lot of other factors, you know, getting people out to vote. You know, great that young people are registering, and thank you, Parkland students. However, getting them to the polls is another issue.
Yep. Yep.
I know from having taught teenagers for years and years and years, they have the best intentions. They are full of enthusiasm for about a minute, and then they forget and they get busy.
Right.
So I don't trust it.
Yeah. Well, this is when it's up to parents of young people. I mean, I will make sure that my daughter votes. I mean, she gets an absentee ballot now, just like David and I do. So when we fill ours out, she fills hers out. I say, sit and fill it out. I'll answer any questions you want. But you got to sit and fill this out now. And she did with her, the primary ballot.
Yeah. My kids finally, I said, vote absentee, because one of them votes and one of them keeps forgetting. He runs late at work.
Oh, no.
And I said, you can't. Oh my God. Oh my God. Luckily they're in Adam Schiff's district.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's good.
Yep.
But still, so they both agreed and they signed up for absentee ballots and they both will fill them out.
Good.
Because I will make sure they do.
By the way, it is Mark Caputo. The guy who writes the Florida stuff for Politico.
Versus Mike. I always get Mark and Mike mixed up.
Speedbird is asking, am I standing over her while she marks her ballot? No, I'm not. But she did have my ballot to look at as a guide, so she saw what I voted for. So if she wanted to copy me, she could.
Well, I coach my kids on who's good and who's not, and then mm-hmm. I make them, you know, let them do their thing.
Yep.
So okay, what is this? I remember, this is hysterical. So Kyle Griffin, he's producer of The Last Word. He said, one small note about this Washington Post article in which Trump reportedly told the Japanese prime minister who remembers Pearl Harbor.
Oh, God.
Trump was born in 1946 and Pearl Harbor happened in 1941.
Oh, God.
That is so stupid. I can't stand how stupid he is, but he's such an imbecile.
He really is. He just is really a fucking moron.
Yeah. Just unbelievably stupid. Oh, God. Our buddy Wiley Miller. Okay, so I said that about this Pearl Harbor thing, that he's hallucinating now, that Trump must, you know, he must be, because that lie is so stupid that, and never mind, he is that stupid. And then Wiley Miller, he is the creator and cartoonist of Non Sequitur, the comic strip.
Right.
He's a good friend of mine on Twitter, and he said, maybe Pearl Harbor is the stage name for a porn star he spent the night with.
That's funny. Trip in the chat room said, did you see him color the flag with a blue stripe?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
he thought
it was a Russian flag, but that's a whole other story.
He's such a fucking idiot.
I said, I'm surprised he wasn't putting a little glitter and dried macaroni and dried paste on there and then eating the paste afterwards.
Right. Come on, that's the fun part.
Okay. I want to open this one up because I have two comments.
Okay.
So Casey Hunt.
Yes.
She tweeted me. Do you think John McCain is a patriot? Arpaio. Yes. Me. A hero? Arpaio. That's hard for me to answer because I never had a hero in my life until several months ago when I woke up after 75 years and I found my hero. You know who that person is?
Oh,
Donald Trump.
Oh, God. Sorry,
and
that just
I
happened.
Said that I felt a wave of nausea when I saw mm-hmm. that tweet, and also I saw it on TV, and also because this is what the GOP has turned into. This is what Trump has turned them into. And then everyone's going, no, they've always been like that. I said, yes, I know they've always been like that. That's not what I meant. I meant that they're becoming quite vocal and brazen about it. Not mm-hmm. that they weren't always racist and weren't always sexist and weren't always hypocrites and all that.
And they weren't all always. There were some reasonable Republicans. And now what we're finding are the reasonable Republicans are the people without a party. You know, they're the ones who are going on MSNBC and you know, they're the never Trumpers. And there's a lot of them.
Yes, there are. But it's become they don't have any filters anymore. That's the point I was making. Mm-hmm. That Trump opened his big fat yap and said all those things he said during his campaign. And that started the ball rolling. Actually, before that, Sarah Palin started the ball rolling when she would incite violence. And they had to have more Secret Service go along with President, well, not then President Obama, but candidate Obama and mm-hmm. then President Obama, because of the violence that she stirred up and the violent rhetoric that she stirred up. But then Trump made it A-OK.
Right. And this goes back to John McCain. You know, I know it's not polite to speak ill of the dead. I never was a big John McCain fan. In fact, there was a great Rolling Stone article a few years back. It was the year he was running for president, and it tells the story of how he got shot down. He got shot down and taken POW because he was a really lousy pilot. He had crashed, I think, 3 planes. He really was not good. He was a fuck off. He was not serious about anything. So it's not a surprise that he was shot down and captured. As a senator, I was never a big fan of his. I think he was, he would sometimes cross the aisle, but he also did some really cruel things. And he voted for that piece of shit tax bill that Trump had. That said, I got to thank him because if not for his vote on the Affordable Care Act, I don't know where I'd be today. So
no, right. I agree with you. He most of the time I was furious at him for this or that. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed sometimes watching him talk because he was a character type, you know. Mm-hmm. He had a good side and he did vote occasionally where it did help us out. But overall, as you recall, our buddy Cliff Schechter wrote a book called The Real McCain.
That's right.
And it talks about the real McCain. So I'm very sorry for anybody but for who's hurt by his death mm-hmm. and his mourning. And I feel for them deeply. I do. When people die, it hurts. And,
right.
And, you know, I don't hold that against anybody.
Nope. I'm sorry for his family and his friends. No, he wasn't. Pisces Bobby is asking, did McCain want Lieberman before Palin? Yeah. In fact, he wanted Lieberman and everyone told him you can't do that. And he settled on Palin.
Right, which was his choice. He didn't have to.
That's right.
Okay, so Kristen Clark, who is the president and executive director of National Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, mm-hmm. she put out an alert, Arizona, Maricopa County, we've received reports that many polling sites opened late due to technical problems.
Of
this is unacceptable. If you cannot vote at your polling station, you can vote at a bonus vote center. Call 866-OUR-VOTE, 866-OUR-VOTE for help and to report the issue. This is for Arizona, Maricopa mm-hmm. County voters.
Wow.
There, I've done my duty. All
okay.
Right. The Horse Whisperer is HOARSE, uh-huh. who I really like. He commented on this. Kyle Griffin is reporting the Trump administration has pledged to pay $4.7 billion to farmers who have been negatively impacted by Trump's tariffs, right?
Uh-huh.
And the Horse Whisperer says, man who used sham charity to pay own liabilities with other people's money proposes doing same thing with taxpayer funds.
Ay, ay, ay.
This is still just today's tweets, by the way. I haven't yet done yesterday's.
Wow.
Yet. Okay, Christina Wilkie, she is with CNBC, as I recall.
Right.
She said, hearing tonight, let me just open this up, because I'm not sure I believe this 100%. Not that she's wrong, but hearing tonight from a surprising number of veterans and vets relatives who all say Trump's handling of McCain's death, especially the flag fiasco, did irreparable damage to their opinion of him, which has been positive until now. White House and GOP, take note, it's more serious than you think. And I said, I'm not sure I have faith in this.
Right.
I believe her reporting. I don't have faith in what the people are saying.
Well, you know, little by little, look, his nonsense with these women is really whittling away at his support among women. You know, he won the white women. I don't think he's winning in the polling of white women now. You know, hopefully just all the things he does, you know, it's eating away at people who have even one little iota of a conscience, you know. Who's,
that's what I'm hoping. Yep. That is exactly what I'm hoping. And I hope they vote against everything he stands for.
Yep.
Sahil Kapoor from Bloomberg said, Mitch McConnell, quote, I have total confidence in the attorney general. He ought to stay exactly where he is.
Okay. Well,
Mitch McConnell said that. So that's of note. Mr. McConnell, the turtle. Now on to yesterday's.
Okay.
Daniel Dale, he did a whole run on the Mexico agreement thing that Trump was belching.
The biggest trade deal in the history of the world.
In history. Oh, yes, that's covered here. All right, I'm just going to read you. He was doing his live tweeting, and he's so good at fact-checking. Uh-huh. He's so good at this. The U.S. has made a breakthrough with Mexico, which the president is describing in a way at odds with reality, while also threatening Canada in a way his negotiators might just ignore. Mm-hmm. Trump super casually said he'll be terminating the existing deal. Until we hear more, I'd be skeptical that he is actually doing that. It is very clear that he does not know what he is talking about and that he's making this up as he goes. Mm-hmm. I expected Trump to oversell and missell what has happened, but he has exceeded my expectations. And what's bugging me as a side note here is that despite this, every news organization is reporting this as a trade deal. It is still, even today, Reuters put out trade deal, da 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 da. It is not a deal. It is a preamble, pre-deal.
Yeah,
thing.
It's not a deal. It's an outline, sort of, maybe.
It's like what he did with everything else, with North Korea, with everything he does. It sounds like he says it's a deal. It's a piece of paper or a conversation that says, oh, hey, you know what? Maybe we'll do this.
Right. Well, it's
as long as this happens.
Why I put this clip in What's News, but I'll play it again. It's Ali Velshi talking with Ron Insana of CNBC right after they played the tape of him, you know, with the phone thing and Enrique. So here's what they said.
Four questions about John McCain. No answers from the president. We had simultaneous translation from the Spanish to English for the Mexican president. Unfortunately, we didn't have simultaneous translation for the English to English because the president made not a whole lot of sense there. I got Ron Insana to help me out with this. We got a minute, Ron, but that was a little hard to interpret.
It was. It's a point of understanding is the way President Nieto described it. And so that sounds like a framework agreement that's where details still have to be filled in.
It's not a replacement for NAFTA.
It is not. Congress would have to approve that. Also, Canada would have to join in that process as well and be signatory to it. NAFTA remains in effect. Now, the president can repeal and replace, but it would take congressional approval and all three countries to agree to a framework like that.
And the Mexican president referred to Canada about five times there. President kept on saying this isn't a deal with Canada. He wants to tax Canadian cars. There are no Canadian car companies.
Correct. Ford, GM, Toyota, and Honda make cars in Canada and re-import them to the United States.
It's amazing. I mean, it was a big nothing, and it was all to get the coverage of McCain off the front pages.
Of course it was. And here's Daniel Dale going on about that. This is one of the largest trade deals ever made, maybe the largest deal ever made, Trump says. Of something that is not a trade deal and would not be the largest trade deal ever made, even if it were a trade deal. It's just so bizarre. The president is issuing dramatic threats against Canada and saying he might not want a three-country NAFTA anymore, while his NAFTA negotiators are scrambling to try to make a three-country NAFTA deal in the next week or so. Trump claims that the Mexican government has promised him to immediately start purchasing, quote, as much farm product as they can, unquote. No idea what he's talking about. Trump is providing no details whatsoever. Quote, it's an incredible deal, he says.
Yeah, that's what he does, because he just makes shit up. He says things and with no basis in fact and says that's the way things are.
What Ali Velshi also said was this was a little tiny things deal, little stuff that NAFTA, here, we'll just add this little thing, and it's basically NAFTA with some little things.
Right.
And I know Canada, from what Daniel Dale tweeted today, is feeling better about stuff, but it's certainly not the biggest deal ever. And he's going to take credit for something that he doesn't need to take credit for at all.
Because he didn't do anything.
Right. Yeah. Hunter DK, Daily Kos says, I think we can safely assume this was a hastily arranged show to distract from the garbage fire surrounding Manafort Cohen, as usual, a.k.a. Infrastructure Week. David Frum added, congratulations to the Trump administration on reaching a preliminary agreement in principle to begin negotiations with half of America's NAFTA counterparts parties with a view to revising one section of the trade agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a notion of a thought of a premise of a twinkling of an eye, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, James Haining, Dem politician, he said, Trump supporters continue to question if Arizona State Representative Eric Deschini, a Navajo American legislator, is here, quote, illegally. Let that level of stupid sink in for a minute.
Yeah, he's a foreigner. Native American, you moron.
Native American.
Uh-huh.
Here before any of your relatives were ever here.
Your immigrant
Let it
relatives.
Sink in. Oh, God. Jim Roberts, editor of Cheddar and used to be with the New York Times, he said, Florida's Attorney General Pam Bondi has been co-hosting Fox's The Five show, even though she's still on the state payroll in Florida.
Amazing.
And Taniel adds, Pam Bondi once got an execution rescheduled because she had a fundraiser on same night. Yep. So this fits her usual approach. She also nixed suing over Trump, you, after Trump gave her $25,000.
That's true.
Fired prosecutors for investigating foreclosure fraud and much more.
Yep. She's a puppet of Trump. I'm actually surprised that he didn't put her in his administration because, you know, she's an attractive blonde.
Yes.
How she ever became... you know, Attorney General of Florida. I don't know. But, you know, this is the same state who elected Rick Scott as governor and may make him a senator.
Okay, so the week headline, a bizarre 1956 murder case might ultimately thwart Mueller's Trump investigation.
Huh?
Here's an excerpt. In September, a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C., will hear a case about the 1956 disappearance and presumed murder of a Columbia University professor, Jesus Galindez, and through happenstance and possibly misaligned stars, the case could prevent special counsel Robert Mueller's findings on Trump, Russia, collusion, and obstruction of justice from being released or even sent to Congress. Right. Hearing the case will be two Republican-appointed judges, including the sole Trump appointee on the D.C. Appellate Court and one judge appointed by Obama.
Wow.
So a quirky case could screw everything up.
That I still don't quite understand it. Why them hearing this case would thwart another case, but
some premise somewhere. That's what.
Okay.
It's always some little ruling, some little glitch in the law, and it can screw things. It often does screw things up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Steve Rue, a follower of mine, said last mass shooting in the United Kingdom was Dunblane in 1996. This forced a review of our gun laws. Problem solved.
Yeah. That's what happens. Other countries, when they have a mass shooting, they actually do something about the laws.
Yeah. Imagine that. Well, this is dated already, but Jonathan Carl of ABC said, standing about 6 feet from the president in the Oval Office, I once again asked the president about John McCain. Any thoughts on McCain? Anything at all about John McCain? Was McCain a hero? Nothing at all about McCain? He stared ahead and said nothing.
And we've seen the video of this. And John McCain Carl was standing right there. There was nobody in between them. He was looking right at him. And Trump just had his arms folded in front of him. And just every few minutes said, thank you. Thank you.
Yep. Looking straight ahead. Yep. So LOL GOP added, Americans finally have a leader brave enough to stand up to dead, decorated veterans and babies fleeing gang violence.
Yeah, aren't we lucky?
Aren't we lucky? Aren't they lucky? Empty Wheel, our buddy Marcy Wheeler said, anyone know of a single Republican insisting there are still Hillary emails we need to investigate, who also said we need to investigate the torture and illegal wiretapping done under W and approved by Brett Kavanaugh?
No, you know, I haven't seen any of them bring up W's misdeeds.
Mm-mm, not a thing.
Nope.
Weird. Hmm. Nope. My old pal James X said, I want to see Trump's human being certificate.
It's a fake.
It's a fake. Tom Arnold.
Uh-huh.
As Trump. He's being Trump now. Americans can sleep well tonight because Mexico is no longer a nuclear threat, thanks to me. Uh-huh. NAFTA. All right. And then Christopher Titus, a comedian, said, the man farts and claims he fixed the air conditioning. Oh, people are funny, aren't they, on Twitter?
Yes.
Robert People, he's a screenwriter and author. He said, to those of you who cheered Trump on as he disrespected a true American hero, John McCain, by implying that he is lesser because he was captured, you can spare us veterans the phony outrage about NFL players kneeling as you claim it's about us. You're all full of shit.
Well, it's, you know, and apparently these veterans groups really went after Trump. I mean, they got pissed off about the disrespecting of McCain with the flag stuff. And it, I mean, I had read it was the American Legion, and then I read several. And it was AmVets. It was a yep. bunch of different veterans groups all going after him that he had to. And you know that Trump doesn't often do an about face when he makes a decision. He never apologizes.
Ever. Right.
And he often doesn't go back on his word. And so this, you know, they came down hard on him.
His staff was all over him saying, you better fix this now.
Yep.
Jim Acosta said flag on top of White House was just lowered to half staff. So President Bannon, it's a satire, you know, site president account uh-huh. tweeted, did Putin die? Daniel Dale again, a defining feature of the Trump presidency is how he turns little things we never used to think about, like condolence statements, mm-hmm. flag-lowering decisions, stakeholder roundtables, into controversies and brawls. Everything has to be something.
Yeah, everything is a big deal.
And it's because Trump is nothing, and he feels so compelled to prove he's not nothing that he has to turn everything else into something to make himself into something. It's because his daddy dearest did a thing on him, and he spent the rest of his life overcompensating.
I guess. I mean, I don't know where extreme narcissism comes from, but there's some troubling stuff.
No, he's damaged
somehow. Deep in there.
Totally emotionally damaged. Ari Fleischer, get this. If POTUS doesn't want to say good things about Senator McCain, that's his prerogative. Give POTUS credit for not faking it, like most politicians do. But the flag, it should have been at half staff. Senator McCain earned it. Okay, so when did common decency and compassion become give POTUS credit for not faking it, like most politicians do?
I have no idea. Yeah,
he gets credit for not faking it, so he can be an asshole.
Well, this is Ari Fleischer speaking, so you can.
Of course it is. Asshole to asshole,
the source, right?
Right.
Right.
And finally, Jason Donner from Fox goes on. This is another tweet about this, which is turning into it sounds like a GOP talking point to me. Senator Inhofe on Trump-McCain flag controversy, quote, frankly, I think John McCain is partially to blame for that because
–
he is very outspoken that he disagreed with the president in certain areas and wasn't too courteous about it. One thing about John McCain and the president is they're both strong-willed people. So I think that's natural.
Oh, my God.
So what they do now is they use the word strong and tough to mean asshole. If you're an asshole, you're being strong and tough.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, most of them are still too afraid to speak up. They're afraid to get the ire of Trump. But did you hear what Johnny Isaacson said?
Yes, I did.
Well, let me play it again. I was in What's News, but this is the senator from Georgia.
Oop. I don't know what's going to be said in the next few days about John McCain, by whomever it's going to be said. I don't know what's going to be done. But anybody who, in any way, tarnishes the reputation of John McCain deserves a whipping.
Ooh. Wow.
Most of the ones who would do the wrong thing about John McCain didn't have the guts to do the right thing when it was their turn.
Yeah, I wonder who's talking about
that.
There.
So I would say to the president or anybody in the world, it's time to pause and say, this was a great man. He gave everything for us. We owe him nothing less than the respect that he earned.
But Donald Trump is too small a man to do that.
Cadet bone spurs. Or space cadet bone spurs now that he wants his space patrol out there.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, I wonder if he's going to buy himself a spacesuit with those like silver gloves and a big bubble hat and go around the White House.
Well, we don't know what he does at night when he wanders the halls of the residence.
Oh, boy.
It's not something I like to think about. It's just too disturbing.
I don't want
to
think about that at all.
Oh, boy. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh, two T's, two F's. And here every Tuesday at NicoleSandler.com and at Laffy'sPlace.com at NicoleSandler.com.
Yes, Steve. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Laffy. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Tomorrow on the program, it's the return of Digby, Heather Digby Parton, because we always need words of wisdom from Digby, especially when things get so out of control crazy, as our world seems to be these days. Thank you for listening. Again, tomorrow, Digby on the program. I will talk to you then.